The Bible is what it says it is. And the Bible also records that he said, "Let my word be truth and every man a liar." Right? We find in our society, in our world today, and we all know that, what once was right is now wrong. And what once was wrong is now right. So somebody can do something really nice and say, "Man, you're really bad." Hello? We see an organization called the ACLU. It don't matter how good it is, they'll come against it because they want to do what's bad. Come on, somebody. We live in that society. They're trying their best to destroy any biblical morality that there is left whatsoever. And we're seeing that in a whole bunch of different areas that our world is going in today. So they're trying to destroy our biblical values that God has given us, our morals. They are disrespectful to the scriptures. They are disrespectful to God's house. We see almost every day shootings at God's house, burning of God's house. The disrespect of God's house is beyond the word repulsive anymore. And then going back again to what I said and mentioned a while ago, the world in the far left is doing their dead level best to destroy the biblical family structure that has been in place ever since the Garden of Eden. And even then, Satan tried his best to destroy it uproot it, and he has in many ways. But it has only gotten fiercer and only gotten worse. Is that a right word, fiercer? More fierce in our world. Come on. Wake up. I like that old song. It's kind of like my message today. I've only just begun. Okay. Listen to me. What the world sees as normal in our society today, as Christians, we should never have it acceptable in our life. We must understand that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But we can see that the effects of the humanistic ways that have been infiltrated in our culture, the rebelliousness that is taking the streets by storm, and seemingly only those that are there to destroy and are destructive are the only ones that get the praise. We see the effects of a sex-crazed world and what it's doing to our generation. We see the effects of a sin-filled world and how it is affecting. The results of these things, church, is that people have shunned the loving God who sacrificed His only begotten Son to redeem us and bring us in fellowship with Him one more time. And we are seeing the effects of sin in our world and our society today because of the rejection that people has come against God. So here we are. In Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 28, it says and reads like this. And I've got plenty of time, so I'm going to read this, okay? If you need to text your favorite restaurant right quick and get you some reservations and then forget about it, I'll pause. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And so, since they did not fit to the acknowledge, I'm reading in the Amplified Version, fit the acknowledgement of God or approve of Him or considered Him worthy of knowing, God gave them over to a base, to a condemned or reprobate mind, to do things that are not proper, decent, but loathsomeness, sinful. Verse 29, until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping and coveting and greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, and strife and deceit and treachery, ill will and cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers, Thank God we don't have any in the church. Amen. Did it get quiet with their brother Steve? Verse 30, slanderers, hateful to and hating God. Anybody relate to what I've just read to you in our world today? You ain't been to Walmart lately, have you? Full of insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, undutiful, and disrespectful to parents. Verse 31, they were without understanding, consciousness, faithless, heartless, loveless, and mercifulless. Verse 32, and they were fully aware of God's righteous decree. And they were fully aware of God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve to die. They not only done them and are doing them, but approve and applaud others who practice them. The fight of our children and this present generation, not to mention, it's imperative that we wake up for the next generation as well. We can see what's happening to this generation and this culture. Can you imagine the next 10 years and what's going to happen if we don't rise up and take a stand? Amen. Church, I come to you today and I admonish you that it is imperative that we wake up and stand up against the ungodly ideologies and teaching that is being shoved down our throats and being hidden in the closets and bringing our kids into them and showing them the alternative lifestyles that God hates. So, as we indulge in this matter, I come to you with the second point that I have today, battling the hearts and the minds, the battle for the hearts and the minds of our children. Again, I mentioned to you a while ago about the biblical masculinity and femininity that is being threatened because of the ideology in our schools and in our government today, trying their best to take away our parental rights and doing without your knowledge of it. They don't even have to pass a law to do it. They're doing it without your knowledge. The Institute of Marriage has been declining for quite some time with different TV shows from way back that I despised then, and I even despise it more now, which one of them was All in the Family, starring Archie Bunker, which hopefully got saved. But there was other things. A guy by the name of Ted Bundy, I couldn't even remember what show he was on, and I hope to pray none of you can, but I'm afraid you did. That so de-minimized the institute of marriage. Insult upon insult of their wife and their husband. And degrading of their children. Come on, church. You know I'm telling you the truth. We got to wake up. Don't go to sleep now. I mean, don't be like the disciples going to sleep in the garden when Jesus needs them to pray. Hello. For more than 50 years, it's been very obvious. Some of you haven't lived that long, so you don't really know. But the culture in which we live today, if we have this much spiritual intuition, we can see things ain't right. For more than 50 years, it's been very obvious that the first objective of the far left is to destroy the family unit, which was designed and created by God. Glory. God done a masterpiece. Men's the ones that's messed it up. Can I say that again? God created a masterpiece. Men's the one that messed it up. I know some of you men saying the women helped. I heard that. Men and women ain't done no favors. But it's time we took a stand. Yeah. We have seen the enemy undermine and weaken the family structure in our society with its ideologies. Hey, I'm fixing to preach here in a minute, so hang on, okay? With all the far left's ideologies and preconceived methods that are not only perverted, but they ought to make a Christian sick. They have come straight out of the pits of hell, promoting by the far left and the Marxist agenda to completely destroy the biblical family structure. Anybody in the house today? The far left. If you're offended by this, the Bible says you will be offended. The far left, backed up by our present President Joe Biden, has made the statement that these are our children. So, well, that don't sound too bad. Oh, but it is bad. Because they're staking a claim that they can teach your kids, they can instruct your kids, they can brainwash your kids, and it ain't none of your business. Look, if you got a problem with this message and I'm meddling into politics, take it up with God, okay? We are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. Now, am I against the Institute of Education? Most certainly not. But I am against what they're doing with it right now. The far left agenda is more focused on sex education curriculum. The far left is much more focused on sex education curriculum that is based on the LGBTQ ideology, such as lesbianism, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer studies, putting every form of perversion on display and indoctrinating them, starting with the ages of kindergarten. This ideology is starting with the youngest of possible penetrating even our and indoctrinating through the 13 years of the regular education, let alone our colleges, are literally drowning of this kind of junk. I said 13 years. Three of my best years of school was in third grade. I find it totally amazing. The only time anybody laughs or see any emotions is when I tell one of my good jokes. Are you getting where I'm coming from? We've got teenagers being handed a diploma that knows more about sex and what mom and daddy does in the bedroom than you ever did. And things perverted past that. And cannot spell, cannot read, cannot write, cannot do arithmetic, and has no knowledge of history. I went to a local restaurant the other day. Honest to God, it's the truth. And this is before I even come up with a message, or God give me the message, come up with a message, okay? Whatever, however you, some of you will say, yeah, you come up with it. Anyway, I went to this restaurant, Brother Steve, and my bill was $6 and a penny, okay? No reflection. I'm just telling you the truth. Can I tell you the truth? I handed the lady a $10 bill and a penny. And she looked at me like I was an idiot. She grabbed her calculator and three different times on her calculator tried to figure out what I'd done to her. Honest to God, I'm telling you the truth. I watched her. And we wonder what's wrong in our schools. I don't know about you. I may say some funny things here, but I am concerned. I am deeply concerned. And I'm even more deeply concerned because we got a bunch of Christians sitting on the pew doing nothing and letting our kids go to hell in a handbasket, and we have no conscience about it whatsoever. I'm stirred. It's all Chris's fault when he runs for school board. I am stirred. Hey, when our boys was in school, I took a stand. One of the teachers was going to have Brian to read a book called A Wrinkle in Time. It had nothing to do with sorcery and witchcraft. And I went to her and told her, I said, you get him another book. He's not reading this kind of junk. Well, I'm a chaplain. I've been a chaplain in a prison, and I don't see anything wrong with this book. I said, I really don't care whether you do or don't. He's not reading this book. And guess what? He didn't read it. And you're asking, was you belligerent about it? Probably a little bit. I might as well just be honest. But I meant what I said. And I said what I meant. It's time we take a stand. You need to know what your kids are reading in school. You need to know what their studies are. You need to know who their teacher is. If their teacher don't know you on a first name basis, they need to. Hello! I said, if their teacher does not know you on a first name basis, they need to. And I'm preaching good, and y'all ain't made me near good enough. Okay. And I'm just getting started again. In many areas of our country, are you ready for this? I'm going to preach here in a minute. In many areas, listen, this is documented. In many areas of our country, our little princesses and our little men. How many of you have heard that when you was growing up? You're my little man. You're my little princess. Well, those little princesses and little men are being taught in many public schools that mom and daddy have told you all totally wrong. You're really neither a boy nor a girl. And by the way, you may not even be either one. That's what our kids are being taught. You can be whatever you want to be, honey. You're neither a male or female, and your sex organs have nothing to do with your gender. That's what they're being taught. One instance, across our country, in several instances, I read, there are some schools that have what they call transitional classes, where students can go into that classroom and change into whatever they want to be or whatever they want to look like. And before they go home, they can go back in that room, take the clothes that they come in, and go back home without their parents having any knowledge of this whatsoever. After a few years of indoctrination and coaching, if these children are not comfortable with their God-given gender, they can be given what is called puberty blockers, and that are nothing more than medical hormones, and again, without their parents' consent, and can change their life forever, where neither gender can have any children. You think we're not battling for our kids today? You say that's absurd. That'll never happen in my generation. Think again. It is. And we have this idea that our kids will never fall for that. But they're starting preschool, kindergarten. But our kids will never fall for that. You want to bet? How many of you told your kids when they were little? Some of you may not. You may have a conviction against this. Fine. But how many knows of somebody that you convinced their kids, your kids or their kids, that there was a guy at Christmas time that wore red and white pajamas with a long white beard, rode in a red sleigh, pulled through the sky by a bunch of reindeers, and the one on the front was called... I thought y'all didn't know this story. Rudolph led his sleigh, lighting up the night sky. And all of us have seen kids that believe that relentlessly. Right? How many have seen kids that, when they was little, they believed that? Yeah. And we don't think kids are influential? When kids are little, they can, you can make them believe anything if you... How many remembers when you finally had to sit down and tell them that was just a story that was made up a long time ago, and Mom and Daddy really was the ones that that brought you the gifts and put under the tree? Santa Claus is way too big to come down the chimney anyway with that full of sack of toys. Now I know some of you adults that are still believing that story are struggling with my message right now. I could go on and on about the left wing's agenda that is out to destroy the family unit through our kids. We have kids, again, being handed high school diploma that know more about sex education than they do about reading, writing, and arithmetic. Listen, if you don't think what I'm telling you is serious, you better think again. Listen, this past week we've had either three or four, perhaps even more, that hadn't hit the media, public shootings and mass shootings. From grocery stores, to schools, to even cemeteries. While the left is calling for gun control, there are many that is defending that right on the other side that are blaming our recent shootings on the cultural factor of the decline of the family because there is no family structure. Can I tell you, when the family unit has been distorted and made a joke, and by many facets, Hollywood and the far left agenda, along with no value of life, babies being aborted from the moment of conception to the point of being born, we have allowed pornography to fill every aspect of media where it is conveniently available by the click of a button. We've allowed video games to have violence and to the extent of killing and murdering, where the youth are totally desensitized to any value of life. You need to write this down. Someone once said, something is seriously, seriously wrong when the world is offended by everything but sin. Yes. Oh my, I need to say that again. Something is terribly, terribly wrong when the world is offended by everything but sin. Number three, the battle of sanctity of life. And there is a glimmer of hope in that right now, but it's because of God's intervention. This year, the battle over life issues is permeating the air and in our media, and they're doing a backward play on it to make those that value life criminal and whatever. Legal issues started prior to the 2016 election concerning the sanctity of life that would have ultimately ended up before the Supreme Court. These issues were initiated with the idea that Democrats would have held the position of presidents and the seats to the Supreme Court would favor Roe versus Wade concerning the abortion rights. As it turned out, the 2016 election allowed for three conservative justices to be appointed during the term of President Donald Trump. Now the Supreme Court, with the conservative majority, will be ruling on abortion for issues that liberals believed at one time they would win. And because of that, across America, the United States, battle over abortion are clashing, not because of the fact of babies being killed, but what age in the womb they will be killed. Did y'all hear me? As you all know, the Supreme Court will soon hold a ruling on abortion, which will likely push the issue back to the sovereign states. And many states will then allow or disallow these procedures in that particular state. Can I tell you, church, we need to desperately be praying and asking God to send a revival back to America and for the Supreme Court to make the proper and the right God-given decision on that matter. We need to pray and ask God for people to fall on their face and on their knees and turn back to God with everything that is within them. Church, it's time that the church go back to prayer. And all of the sin and the corruption that our society has somehow embraced as normalcy, a Christian's voice has got to be heard. I said a Christian's voice has got to be heard. So that there's no confusion, I do believe in women's rights. But I believe that the baby's rights prevails. And the woman gave up their right, the decision of that baby, when they crawled in bed with the whoremonger. Hello? I'm too old to pussyfoot around anymore. Too old, this junk in our world and our society today, you might as well tell it like it is. I love you. And a baby has rights.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And they become a living soul at that moment of conception. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before I formed you in the belly." That was before conception, Brother Steve. "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nation." Proverbs chapter 22 and 6 says, "Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it." Okay, I brought to you the case that we are in spiritual warfare in America today and where we're living. I have given you point after point of how the far left and the Marxist ideology is doing their best to steal, to kill, destroy our kids, and destroy the family unit. But I come to you today to also tell you that the battle is the Lord's. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, "And he said to Jehoshaphat, Hearken ye, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, be not nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God." Somebody say amen in this house. You may feel like you're outnumbered in our world, in our society. You may feel like Washington, D.C. has control. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God in heaven above that sits on the throne, and there's not one thing that's getting past Him. And judgment lies at the door of America, and He will proceed. He will take truth in Jesus' name. Amen. As we see the world rising against righteousness, we must remember that God is greater. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He has already defeated sin, death, hell, and the grave. He reminds us that through the Scriptures that this battle is not flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual battle that is fought through God's Word and upon our knees in prayer. The Scriptures tell us that we do not wrestle or fight against men, but our battle is against the principalities of the air and the spiritual wickedness of this world that is bred and come forth and delivered through the hell, gates of hell itself. When we see and we know that righteousness is under attack, we must turn to the Word of God and become willing and obedient and faithful servants, willing to put our trust in the God of heaven who heals, who saves, and delivers those who trust in Him. When we view our problems and our circumstances that surround us, church, we cannot fear and we cannot retreat. But understand, the Lord God Almighty is our strength. our deliverer, and our soon coming king. One of these days, as these messages go out on the airwaves and able to be seen by whoever, one of these days, it's going to get a hold of somebody that's going to mess up their hairdo. And you might as well get prepared. Are you ready to stand with your pastor? Are you ready to go by the way of the world? There's coming a day. I said there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Can I tell you one more time that the God that I serve, that He is our strength, He is our deliverer, and our soon coming King. I absolutely love what David had his issues. He had his enemies. He had his problems. He had those that had him pinned down in the cave before. But can I tell you that David said in Psalms chapter 37, beginning at verse number 1, do not fret because of evil men, or be not envious of those who do wrong. You ever ask yourself and wonder, why, as evil as they are, and they're prospering and doing all these things, you ever wondered in your mind, why does God allow that to happen? Yeah, you have. I'll answer for you. You just don't. It's hard to understand, comprehend. You're trying your dead level best to do everything you know to do. And it seems like you're struggling. And these other people, that they just prosper and they're mean as the devil himself. You know why? Because that's all they got to look forward to here. Hello? I said, that's all they got to look forward to. They might as well have their heyday. But our greatest day's coming. No more worry. No more bills to pay. No more light switches to turn on because Jesus is the light of that city. And I'm telling you, we've got a hold on this. Hello? Jesus has got us in the palm of His hand. David said, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass that will soon wither, like the green plants that will soon die away, trust in the Lord. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret with men. Succeed when they succeed in their ways. When they carry out wicked schemes, don't worry about it. Trust in God. Chris, come to the piano if you all would, please. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, is there ever a call that went out? Just as much as there did in Ezekiel's day, there's a call going out today. And God said, I'm seeking for a man or a woman among them that call themselves Christians, that calls himself, I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm calling to the men and women of that era today that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me in this land that we're living in. And He said, so that I would not destroy it, but I have not found any. I've not found any. Today, church, it's time. It's time. And I'm not calling you to be belligerent to our world. It's to show the love of Jesus Christ, to take a stand that you're not going to bend, you're not going to bow, and you're not going to burn. Hello? It took courage for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It took courage for Daniel. It took courage. For Joshua, when you get my age, you just have to wait on the Lord. He'll bring it around. It's just slower now than it used to be. But it took courage for Joshua to stand for, say, for you, for us, or you for our adversary. I got to know. Let's settle it right here, right now. Whose side are you on? We got to take a stand. So how do we take a stand? I mentioned to you earlier in my message this morning that God will not send you to a place that He will not equip you. And He has done that in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and put on the whole armor of God. I'll let you finish that this afternoon because there's aspects in that passage of Scripture that we have missed. put on the whole armor of God. Would you stand with me all over the house today? Put on the whole armor of God. It's about nice clothes. I ask you right now, is there one in this house that you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you see and you know this world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we need help. We need help. Is there one, you lift your hand and say, Pastor, my name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I want to make sure it is. Would you slip up your hand right back down? I'm not coming to embarrass you. God sees that hand as well when He knows. He sees and He knows. All right. How many today say, Pastor, I hear the message. I hear the bidding of a call. And I want to answer that call. Would you just slip your hand right up? I'm not going to be taking names down, but God is. I want to answer that call. I want to answer that call. Would you just reach over and take your neighbor by the hand? And let's have a family prayer this morning, praying God to give us courage. God give us strength. Help us to rely on Him like never before. Would you do it? Just take your neighbor by the hand and let's say that family prayer today together. Heavenly Father, we come to You right now. Lord, we understand and we see that the dilemma that the world is in and that America is in today. We see the dilemma, Lord, that is facing our kids and this generation and the Institute of Marriage. But God, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that You're more than able, Lord. You are more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. And I pray, God, today that You will help us accept the challenge, Lord. Help us, oh God, in every avenue of our life to take a stand for You. Help us, oh God, that we step out, Lord, and be counted among those, Lord, that of the righteous, Lord, that are willing, Lord, to say, yes, Lord, I'll stand in the gap. Yes, Lord, I'll make up the hinge. Here I am, Lord. Equip me. Lord, I'll answer the call. In Jesus' name, would you lift your hands toward heaven right now? Say, Father God, would You grant it in my life? Not my brother nor my sister, but my life right now, Lord. This is between me and You, God.